Hello and welcome to Two Fat Expats. My name is Kirsty Rice and my podcast partner in crime is Nikki Moffat. Now, we've been expats for a very long time, long enough that we remember expat life without Google Maps, Instagram and Facebook buy and sell pages. If you call yourself an expat or maybe you prefer economic immigrant, you might want to join our Facebook group, which is called Two Fat Expats. There's over, I think we're getting close to 50,000, actually, people there at the moment. It's a wealth of information to be found. I'm really stuffing up this introduction because, and this is why I hate doing it. Hello, Nikki Moffat. Let's just move on, shall we?
Hello, Kirsty Rice. How are you?
Well, I'm getting my moods mixed up.
That was very clever.
Thank you.
Now, I started to try and ask you that question before we recorded, and you said, no, let's save it for the recording. So yes. Now I really do want to hear, how are you and what have you been up to?
Oh, yes, we haven't spoken at all. Like, we've just been doing the sort of WhatsApp chats here and there, and we do like a little voicemail that we like to do. But, yeah, we haven't really. It's just been a quick sort of tag of life, hasn't it? So, yes, what have I been up to? So we went home for the Christmas break. We went back to Australia to the beach. It was fantastic. I cannot. I think it was one of our best. We probably had about 10 for Christmas, which is really doable and easy. And, you know,
as five of you make up half of that.
Six of us. We had the six and then siblings, whatever. Yes, so wonderful Christmas. But I think the highlight might have been my New Year's Eve. We had, you know, we always do the street party.
Happy birthday, Kirsty Rice.
Thank you. Which I try and keep on the down low and just make it a New Year's. But what was particularly brilliant, because, you know, my children are 18 to 24 now, right? So their days of having to spend New Year's with mum and dad while they party are over. But they all chose to stay and bring along their friends, which was fabulous. So we had our eldest son had about 15 people in the backyard, all in swags and, you know, various states, and they sort of set up a party down there, but would come down and join us and then go back and come down and join us and then go back, which was lovely. My eldest daughter had her boyfriend, but she's also, you know, part of the clan of the street as well. And then second daughter had her friend, Emily, the most beautiful girl in the world, who we all love, yes. And then my son had a couple of friends as well, my youngest son. So it was just fabulous. So that with, you know, local neighbours and their kids and whatever just made for a fantastic party. And the theme was a little bit of sparkle, so we all wore a little bit of sparkle. And I had one of those nights, Nikki. Now, this might have something to do with the amount of champagne I had, but I just kept saying to anyone who would listen, I'm having the best time. I'm just having the best time.
Now, that is fantastic. I have been to one of your street parties on New Year's Eve / birthday parties, and it was really fun. So to say it was the best one you've ever had, that's a pretty big call. Yeah. I also want to congratulate you and me for now having graduated all our children from school. Oh, yay us.
Oh, God. And Nikki, without sort of divulging too much of my youngest son's drama and grief, I'm sure he won't mind telling a little bit about it, but he has had an excellent final year at school where he's been a very good student, and he needed a very high, what we call an ATAR, which is a mark out of 100, and you do the same thing in Queensland. And so there was a lot of pressure because he's a kid that he only has ever wanted to do law since about year eight, I think, and then he just drilled down into what type of law. Like, he didn't ever go in any other direction, which was a worry because he needed a 95 ATAR to get there. Anyway, he had a terrible incident, let's just say, in his first exam that involved him being very ill, and it just, oh, Nikki, it really did cause a lot of drama. We had, you know, one of those where you wake up in the morning to the text from your second daughter saying, "Don't panic, but I'm with him. He's going to be fine. You know, this is what you need to do." Just thinking, oh my God, it was exam number one. So anyway, he got through, he got the marks required. There was a lot of back and forth with the school of what can we do. Anyway, we got there. And, of course, you've had the same thing with your gorgeous Willow.
Yes. Well, congratulations to Henry to Hot Dog, first of all, for achieving and off to law. Yes. Yeah. Willow was also very happy with her results and her ATAR. And as she qualifies as a remote student, she got offered all sorts of scholarships to move to different cities, which are about, you know, $2,500. And I'm like, that's not going to cover you. She's like, but I'll use my scholarship money. I said, for what? Anyway, she feels very proud of herself and she has deferred this year. So she has accepted an offer at Melbourne and at Sydney and she's deferring for a year, and who knows, by the time this time next year comes around, she might be somewhere else at a different university studying something else, because a year away makes you think about all sorts of things. But no, she's very excited, and she's at the moment on a bit of a whirlwind tour of Europe. She started off with her girlfriends from school here in Brisbane. She found they weren't very hardy travellers. So they were all coming back to start uni. And I think she was a little bit relieved when they left because she didn't feel that they were very together. In fact, one of her texts said, "It's a wonder one of them is even alive and can function as a human being," because she wasn't. I'm very, very lucky to receive a stream of consciousness from my daughter. So I panic in some stage and then an hour later everything's resolved.
Yes.
And then now she is actually today, she's woken up in Copenhagen where it's freezing cold. And she's been living her best life since her girlfriend's left to come back, and she's been catching up with friends in Hamburg and in Copenhagen.
Oh, that's so good.
And is astounded to realize that her German still works. I was like, "You only stopped studying it 6 months ago." And she said, "Yeah, but I haven't lived in Germany for 3 years." I said, "But you did still study it."
Yeah.
Anyway, so so she's having a lovely time.
Oh, that's fabulous. And I think for our listeners, you know, for anyone who has children, you know, they're getting, well, I mean, it's all the way through. You're wondering about this all the way through, aren't you, with your kids and their expat life of, are they going to keep in contact with people that they've met along the way? Are they going to want to travel? Are they going to pass after being in, you know, four different schools and, you know, in some people's mind, damaged from, you know, being away from grandparents or whatever. And I think, Nikki, we're here to tell you that it will work out. Of course it will work out. It always does. You know, it's just the snakes and ladders of life, and we see it. The best thing, I think, for my kids going back to Australia and doing those last few years in Australia was they see that it's not perfect in the everyday world of the kid that's never left or gone anywhere. Do you know, everybody has their issues. I love that she's travelling, and I don't know what it is, you know, Nikki, is it that, you know, we've both obviously loved travel, so you want your kids to grasp a bit of that too. I know it really scares, I think, my husband a bit. Like, he's, when people say, "Oh, I'm going to go and live in London for 2 years," he's like, no, like, don't do that, because he can... He wants to get home and then be home, which is very selfish when you think he left and never came back.
That's right.
But it's because he knows. And I think I say to my kids all the time, please, please, please just promise me you'll marry an Australian, because I know what happens when you marry someone from somewhere else. You know, like it becomes a drama, which is, you know, really small-minded of an expat when they're surrounded by people of different nationalities. But I guess we've seen how hard it can be for people trying to balance all of that once they have kids, etc. So my second daughter has decided she's going to head off to Vietnam in March and get on the back of some random person's motorbike and, you know, go riding through the hills, for 10 days or something. And I'm really happy about it and think that that will be amazing, and you'll be with a group. She's going completely on her own. She doesn't know anyone else. She's bought her ticket with her own money. She worked at a wedding yesterday, and I said, "Oh, what are you doing?" She said, "Well, I need money for Vietnam. I've got to get a second job, you know, to do it." And you're like, "You go, girl." Whereas there are other people in our family. My youngest son is horrified. My youngest son is like, "I can't believe you're letting her do this." And he actually said, because he's a good saver as well, "I've got $1,900. I'm going to buy a ticket. I'm going with you." And she had to say, she had to say to him, "I'll go with you, but not this time. Do you know, like, I want to do this on my own, but I'll go with you when you want to go if you want, but I'd really like to do this on my own." And he just keeps saying to me, "I can't believe you're letting her do this. I can't believe it." I know. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, it is scary when you look at, you know, what happened at Cambodia in the last 6 months with backpackers, which is basically what our children are doing. They're traveling very light on. And they're, I mean.
You might want to explain to those who don't know
just,
about Cambodia.
Yeah, just to explain, there was some situation in Cambodia. I think it was in the last 6 months. I can't remember exactly when, but there were Australians and British people, and I think some Canadians as well, who were staying at a hostel and went to the bar and drank something that turned out not to be alcohol and was ethanol. And they passed away, and their parents had to fly in and pick them up. And, you know, they were just kids doing exactly what our kids are doing. And so it is scary to let go and let them go. And I have to tell you one thing. We talked about when we lived in Europe and we went on trips with our children, I would yell and scream at them and say, "Don't you, when you grow up, tell people you've been to these cities and countries, because all you're doing is complaining and looking for Wi-Fi." Anyway, so she was back in Prague with her girlfriends from school, and youth hostels, I have to tell you, Kirsty, they've changed a lot since we did backpacking, and now they have activities and give you free dinners and sort of have group activities and the staff take you. And they went to this nightclub, which is apparently the 35th best nightclub in the world.
Oh, yes, because someone's really keeping track of that list.
And Willow said to me, "Oh, my God, that's the best place I've ever been to in my life. I cannot imagine what any of the other 34 are like." But, you know, things like that, and you think, oh, that's great that the hostel takes them and they have a good night out, but that's exactly, you know, when something can happen.
Yeah.
But just the funniest thing, I was like, "So what are you doing?" "Oh, well, we got up really late because we've been out every night. You know, we went to this bar and that bar." I was like, "Have you had a photo on the Charles Bridge? Like, do you remember the castle?" She's like, "Oh, someone's at the Kafka Museum." I was like, "Oh, don't go. That was a jet letdown for me." But, you know, and she, anyway, it's just so funny what she deems is important to do in these places she's going and what we would do as a little bit more grown up. But, you know, it was really good. I was so glad that she did that with her girlfriends, because then when they left, she traveled on by herself. So she already had experience of going to hostels, knowing how to book the rooms, knowing when there were, you know, she sometimes books female-only dorms and all that kind of stuff. So she really had a really good experience first up, and she feels a lot safer and a lot more comfortable now doing it. So I'm very glad that, her trip that went that way. She has unfortunately been sick a few times, and because of the stream of consciousness, she's traveling in winter in Europe, which is not ideal. Yeah. But she's fine. Look, it's all good. She's great, because she said to me when she was little, "You know, Mama, I never want to travel. I just want to move somewhere and live there forever." So I'm so glad that she's doing this. So that's for anyone else who's worried about their kids. Like, I've got one that's never going to go anywhere, but now I've got one that does go somewhere.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And isn't it funny how you remember someone saying, "I just want to do this and do that"? I had one the other day where two of my children sat me down and said that they could not believe that I didn't let them know when the last time they were all going to have breakfast together was going to be, right? And the things that they lay on you where you go, Oh my God, really? And really, my advice to anyone is, if your children do this to you, the best thing to do is just to agree and say yes and let it go. Because once you start defending yourself and listing things, yeah, that doesn't work. But it just broke my heart in that, I mean, you were around in those days, Nikki. You remember the devastation I felt when my eldest daughter went off to school for exactly that reason. I kept, you know, for a year beforehand, I kept thinking, you know, this will be the last time we'll order this. This will be whatever. And, of course, as time goes on, you realise there's plenty more breakfasts. There's lots of breakfasts. You all will be together again. It just won't be in that way that you once were. But I can remember with my daughter, we all went to Build-A-Bear and we all, you know, picked a camel for her that represented Qatar. And then we all left a little message saying why we were going to miss her. And my little tiny son at the time, Henry Hot Dog, who's about to do law, said, "I will miss you, Lizzie, and please remember to eat your vegetables." And they were so cute. And they all did it, and we all, you know, went through this whole thing because Lizzie was going, don't remember that. That didn't happen. You just didn't tell us when it was our last breakfast together, and I can't believe you didn't tell us that it was going to be our last breakfast.
And all four of them live together now, right? So
yes.
It's not like they can't have breakfast together.
That's right. But I should have told them when it was on that. And you know, let's not forget that the last breakfast, technically, we were all at the beach anyway. We weren't in Qatar sitting at the breakfast table having our last breakfast. But anyway, I do, yes, don't bother arguing with your, you know, it's an oxymoron, adult children, but you don't bother. Just let it go. Yep. Oh, gosh, yes. Okay, thanks for that. I'll take that on board.
Okay, so because now your kids are all in Australia full-time at the moment.
Yes.
Sounds the Vietnam trip a little bit later on. You are splitting your time a little bit more between two places.
Yes.
A bit more consistently.
Yes.
How's that going? How's the twin life going? How do you pick up?
It's brilliant because I'm not driven by school holidays anymore. Do you know?
Yay. Congratulations.
Yes. So I actually, when we went home for Christmas and New Year, I flew back to Qatar on January the 6th, which has been unheard of, right? Because I've always had to stay all through January, get them to school, in school at the beginning of Feb, do those parent-teacher interviews, you know, make sure everyone's got what they need and then hop on a plane. And so it's a long haul for my husband to be on his own, which is what we can now completely eliminate. Like, we can say now we're not going to be apart from each other for more than, you know, 4 weeks tops. We are going to plan our trips home and back and whatever so that we're not apart in that way. So that's beautiful. Also, the other thing is Qatar is stunning in January and February. It is a beautiful place to be. The weather is sensational. You play, you know, a lot more daytime golf.
A lot of golf.
And it's just really nice. A lot of outdoor walking. There's a lot going on because the weather's so good. They tend to jam in as many events and things as they can. So it's a nice place to be here. And it also meant I got to tick something off my bucket list. So I am a huge David Sedaris fan.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And I discovered David Sedaris when we were living in Canada and I would listen to him on public radio. And then my children became Sedaris fans because I would play him in the car all the time. It was probably highly inappropriate and they probably shouldn't have heard many of the things they heard, but there were particular things. If you're ever interested, there's a reading he does about Nicaragua, which is particularly funny for little kids because he does an accent. But anyway, so all my four children and I all went to see David Sedaris, and he was actually playing at the town hall, which is 5 minutes from our house. He was at the Norwood Town Hall. So it was so, I can't explain how special it was to be looking at David Sedaris on stage, listening to his voice and being in the room with my kids. And, you know, it was interesting, Nikki, I mean, this could be a whole different podcast, but I'm really I was really blown away by how un-PC he was. He's a 68-year-old man now. And, you know, he said a few things that I felt my children literally, you know, go, oof, you know, it's an interesting thing. We all get older. And yep. I guess for him, he is probably like an American Ricky Gervais in a funny yes. way of he's not yep. going to
conform too
much. So there was a lot, you know, for my kids who were like and one of my children used the expression about that, you know, he was evidence of a man who'd pulled the ladder up from behind him so that others couldn't.
Ooh,
yes. So it was interesting.
But that's so interesting, though, that you can have that kind of adult conversation, like, yes. like a thoughtful, rather than like giggling to listening to something because yes. he is funny, but sort of having the conversation around it, which is a whole different thing to sitting driving in the car and listening to, you know, whatever. So having the whole conversation about seeing him live. I saw him live in Atlanta with a friend of mine, not with my children. They were too young.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's awesome that you went yeah. all together. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. And my kids were definitely, there were other young people in the crowd, but it was definitely more people
yeah.
of our vintage. And they found him hysterical. And my children felt they laughed at some of the inappropriate things that weren't jokes. Mm. Yes. So that was interesting too. And of course you get to meet him afterwards because he signs your books and does whatever. So my daughter and I stood in line and, you know, he signed our books and I said thank you. And but even then, you know, they say never meet your heroes. And it was interesting because he started to say about how he'd been to Egypt and how interesting it is going to a Muslim country when you're a man. And I kind of stopped him in his tracks because I got the feeling he was going to try and play that stereotypical women have got it, you know, so bad in these countries. And I was thinking, yeah. no, I don't start telling me that here. Do you know, that is such a nuanced conversation that involves more than your one trip to make a decision about how people are yeah. living. And so I loved it. I love him. I will continue reading his books. I will continue listening to him. But yeah, to be able to, I wonder, had I not had my children, that I could feel their backs going up. Do you know, I could feel it where I was thinking, oh dear. Had I not been with him and I'd just been with a girlfriend that laughed and laughed and laughed because everybody around me was laughing, laughing, laughing. Would I have been having these thoughts or would I be in my bubble of my age?
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, I'm doing a thing tonight and, of course, by the time this comes out, it would have been a gone.
Yes, which I'm very excited to talk to you about as well because comedy, curse your eyes, expat in a hat. I can't wait to hear.
So
you can tell us all the secrets now because by the time this comes out, you yes. will have done it in public.
Well, look, it's going to be a very small group and I think I did have to ask yesterday, what are people hoping for from this event? And I got told they're hoping to talk about the how a joke sort of happens and whatever. But I have had it stuck in my brain about this Sedaris thing and I would love to talk about that, about how things you write that you thought were funny are not funny 25 years later because of things you've said. And you know, Sedaris became insanely famous or popular, like I guess his career took off when he wrote the Santaland Diaries, which was the story of him working as an elf at Macy's.
Mm, yeah.
And it was hysterically funny of him being dressed as an elf and, you know, just the assault to his intelligence of what he had to do. And he talks about all the different elves and whatever. And I went back and listened to it, but he uses the R word in it. And he talks about yes. how a bunch of R people arrive and that then you can't tell the difference between them and everybody else in the craziness of Christmas and whatever. But it's like you can't use the R word now, mate. Do you know? But then do you have to say, well, that was 25 years ago and that we've got to forgive you know, forgive and forget because that was 25 years ago.
Well, I think you use the language of the time, right? So I yes. think that there's, you know, you look at a lot of movies and you're like, oh, that hasn't dated well. That didn't, that age well.
You can watch an episode of Friends and think that didn't age well. Yeah.
Correct. Seinfeld, whatever. Like anything doesn't age well because it's just a different, like the world evolves and adapts.
Yeah.
And if you can look at it for what it was at the time.
Yeah.
Then I think that's okay. But I think it's a really interesting concept, particularly as there seems to be quite a lot of backlash against that at the moment. So it's an interesting thing to think about in terms of how that's happening and how, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a lot going on in the world.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
So a little bit of comedy is never a bad thing.
No. And I guess there are certain people in our world at the moment that would say it was the woke mind virus going crazy that we were all getting upset about these things. Yes. Oh, dear.
That's correct.
Yes. So, yes, so that's tonight. And I'm very I said yes, you know, like I always do, and then completely regret it and go, why did I say yes? But I'm sure it will be absolutely fine when we're there. And it will be nice to meet because it's an event for other creatives and for people who are writing. And I've seen the list and a couple of people that are going, I was like, well, they should be doing this, not me. They're very good at, you know, comment. They've done stand-up, you know, they should be. I think I would be more well known for making people cry than making people laugh. But
well, you see, it's a little bit of both. See, it's how to make them laugh while you also make them cry. That's another thing to think about because you do that at the same time. So on that, so you are being advertised for that event as expat in a hat.
In a hat.
And you're wearing a hat right now.
Oh.
So you are, in fact, an expat in a hat. So tell us about Expat in a Hat because that's come about since in the new year.
Yes. So Expat in a Hat started because at Christmas, New Year, obviously spending a lot of time with the kids, and my husband has this thing every year. He said, what was your word for the year? You know, everybody had to have their word for the year. And my kids have sort of been on me about, Mum, you don't write like you used to write. You don't do any of the stuff that you used to do. You know, we've really slowed down on the podcast since you've you're repatriated, etc. And I really thought about it of, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to do this or do you want to do something completely different? You know, where do you want the next direction to be? And it is for me a very new year because my children, like, you know, we've talked about, I'm in more control of my time, etc. And I decided I wanted my word to be legacy, which meant that all this information that I've gathered all through the years and written about and podcasters about and done whatever, I would like to give some of that back. And, you know, Nikki, I always tell the story of on our first expat location, how I hopped in a car with a woman called Karen who just said, this is what we do, do you know? And this was pre-Facebook, pre-Instagram, pre-any of that sort of organized groups. And she just said, this is what we do. We pick people up. We tell them how to get from A to B. We give them all the tips of, you know, where to buy milk or where to buy whatever, where to find a doctor, etc. And so I thought, well, I want to do that. The problem with that is I don't do video well. And so it was like, I hate doing video. I like writing. I don't like doing video. So that's where the hat comes in because I thought, you know, that you can hide a bit behind a hat. You can not feel that you've got to have makeup on because it kind of shadows your face. You know, it was like it just gives me that little bit more of confidence. And it's also that whole Cat in the Hat, the places you will go, you know, theme of whatever. So I decided Expat in a Hat and that I'm going to consciously, you know, start giving out tips and ideas and whatever. If you want them, you do. If you don't, you don't follow. You don't, you're not interested. But start doing a bit more of that. So that was the idea.
No, it's excellent. I do look forward in my feed to the expat in a hat to see which hat you're wearing. I asked you the other day if people started sending you hats yet.
I think I'm going to have to settle on the one hat, aren't I? And I don't know. Someone said get a hat with an X.
Oh, no.
And someone said, no, get a hat with an E.
Oh, don't get a hat. Don't get a hat with an X, please.
All right. No. Well, that's what I thought. And I said, God, no. You know, X is the demon. Demon child. I'm not even on what was Twitter anymore. I find it repulsive. But yes, so no, I think an E, maybe an E for expat might be a good idea. I don't know. We'll see where we go. But at the moment, I'm happy with just lots of different hats and just grabbing whatever's there.
No, I love all the different hats and I love to see the different hats. A lot of football hats, I do notice.
Yes, by a particular
I'm looking for
football
floppy
team.
Hats, straw hats, you know, all sorts of different hats, bucket hats.
That's right.
It could be any kind of
That's
hat.
That's right.
Anyway, yeah. So I did want to talk
yes,
to you about that.
Yes, yes. So I am, and you know, I am finding I'm getting there. We came home from Singapore the other night. I'd bought this suitcase cover and I said to my husband, oh, my God, look how dirty that suitcase cover is. That's what is on our suitcases normally when we pick them up and put them on our beds to unpack them. And I know people say you shouldn't put them on your beds, whatever. Well, I'm not going to put them on my white couch and I'm not going to put them on my dining room table and I'm not unpacking them off the floor because that's really uncomfortable. So it's going on the bed, probably the spare bed, but it's going on the bed. But being able to take that cover off, but I said to G, oh, I'm going to have to do this now because I need to take it off to put it in the washing machine. It was 1 a.m. in the morning and I said to him,
no.
And I said to him, you'll have to go to another room while I do this. You know, my creative won't work. No. And he said, seriously? And I went, oh, yeah, I can't do this in front of you. I went, no more. Yeah.
It's like him listening to a podcast.
Right. I don't watch you doing any of that. So he got banished off to the bedroom while I spoke in hushed tones to do the thing. But I did think, you know, you wouldn't have done that before. You would have just not done it because it would have been too embarrassing to make a video. So I know I've got a long way to go. I have to learn how to make sure there's auto captions on everything. And my husband keeps saying to me, and the captions aren't right. I said, that doesn't matter. I don't care. I've tried my best. That's if I can just get the captions, that's good. But now I need to work out how to do the cover thing about what they're about so people can just go to the one they want to see. But it's all practice. We've got to start somewhere, Nikki.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm an old dog and this is a new trick and it's just going to take me a little while.
Well, have you thought about a TikTok account?
Because I have.
Can I just tell you?
I have thought about it.
Can I tell you that my, once back to my daughter, who's the only one doing exciting things in our family at the moment, reliving her past expat life, when I went around Europe, I had a book and it was a thumbed book and everyone had the same book and it was Let's Go Europe.
Yep.
So I think before us was Europe on $20 a day or whatever, and then we Let's Go, and then the generation after us was Lonely Planet.
Yes.
There is no more Lonely Planet books. They don't exist.
It's all online?
Lonely Planet's shut. It's all online. I tried to get an online thing. I tried to say, and I said to Will, I said to my daughter, how are you find, like,
wow.
Where do you find what to go? Like, because Let's Go used to have, like, you know, 20 things to do in the city, go at this time of day, do this, do that, blah, 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 blah. She said, oh, we just look on TikTok.
Yep, that's where my daughter got the Vietnam idea from.
And I was like, okay then. So I really think I could not believe that Lonely Planet, like, didn't exist as an entity. I was like, maybe I'm missing what came after Lonely Planet. So if there is anyone, any fatterati, happy to send me a link. Because I really had trouble coming to terms with the whole thing about what was going on.
Yes, because I'm sure I've seen Lonely Planets in bookshops, but maybe not.
I'm sure they still exist, but they're not actually like, they're like, this has not been updated since, you know, 2020.
Wow.
And like the world has changed a lot since 2020 because COVID.
Oh, yes, it has. It has.
To say of any other things, but I just TikTok. I think expat in a hat goes TikTok, and then you just feed your socials back to Reels because everyone knows everything goes to Reels a week after TikTok. So you start in TikTok, then it goes back to Reels.
Here's my thing with TikTok is I love it, but like I had to delete TikTok because I could just sit there and just scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. Yeah, it is so highly addictive. Our kids have got no hope. Do you know, like we have. I mean, my daughter kind of broke the what would you call it, the habit by reading, I think she read 100 books last year. Because she
was deliberately getting away from
doom scrolling and reading books. Yep. And she got right into a series and then off it went from there. But, and my eldest daughter is now trying to do the same. She has a reading chair. She has one of the Kindle holders, you know, so she can drink her wine and read the Kindle at the same. And the clicker that turns the page for her so she doesn't even have to touch it. So they both live these lives with their clickers and their Kindles in holders. And you know whatever.
I think that's a good catch up. I think we've heard a lot about everything, and because I actually, in the past few weeks, you know, I have people from time to time saying, "Oh, what's going on? Can you do a podcast? Can you update us on your life? What's happening?" Yes. And the last week, I've had about 4 or 5. I was like, "You know what? We are doing one this week."
Now, I don't feel that we've done an. I don't think we've done enough on you, though. Like, how are you? I mean, do you still think about it as a re-entry when it's, you know, been this long? Or how long does the re-entry take?
Look, I feel like I'm living in another country that I've never lived in before, to be perfectly honest. Like, and that's to do with being in the state that we're in, which is Queensland, and we're also in the rural part of Queensland. We're not in a city in Queensland. So I really don't feel like I've ever lived here before, apart from I can speak the language. I mean, every time I go somewhere to do something, I had to fill in a form. I'm having some tests this week and I had to fill in a form. And I said to the lady, "I'm sorry, I don't understand how to fill this in." And she said, she just looked at me like I was a half-wit. And I was like, "I'm really sorry. I haven't had to use this health insurance for like 20 years. And she's like, "Oh, okay. I still thinks I'm crazy, but I don't want to say, oh, because I lived overseas and I lived in all these countries and this is where I lived." And blah, blah. She doesn't want to hear that.
Yes,
she just wants to hear that I need help. No. So look, where am I? Look, I still feel like it's a new country, to be 100% fair. And we are still working very hard. And so I'm sad to report that I don't have any new friends, but I have lots of friends that don't live here that I still go and visit. And I went to the movies yesterday by myself, which I was very happy to do.
Well done. And what did you go see?
No, I've Bridget Jones Mad About the Boy, and I was very happy to see it. And so, look, it's fine. We live in paradise. I mean,
yes, it is.
More turtles have laid their eggs here this year than any other year. There are turtles frolicking over the beach, turtle hatchlings every morning on the beach. There is just, it is beautiful here. It has been over 30 degrees for the last 4 months.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
I know that happens hotter than that in Qatar, but we don't quite have the same.
No, you sort have
of
nice
systems alleviate that heat here, and probably a lot more mold. But so, I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful place where we live. We keep saying, "Oh, just next month we'll get in the swing of things and we'll be able to do something." But you know, we're opening a new office, we're expanding our business, so we're doing lots of things on that front.
That's brilliant.
And, you know, keeping up with our children. One of them's just gone back to uni. The eldest has just gone back to uni to do their – so they started in the middle of the year, so their second – almost their second year of uni with 6 hours of face-to-face lectures a week.
You must be exhausted.
So we're gently suggesting jobs.
Yes.
And you know, I had people that follow me on Instagram will have seen that I made a cake for their 22nd birthday, the same cake that they've had for the past 6 years. Aww. Like, we live 4 hours away and they ring me and say, "Hey, can I have that same cake this year?" I was like, "Sure, buddy. No worries. Just expect that someone's going to appear on their doorstep with a cake." Of course, our receptionist had COVID, so I couldn't go. So Sam had to drive 4 hours, deliver the cake, pay for lunch and drive back. But, you know, that's a, it's fine. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's life. It's what you do. We are so lucky to be able to do that with our kids now because, you know, other, if we'd still overseas, we wouldn't be able to do that. So that's why we make the effort to try and do that. So, you know, we've got rampaging COVID in this area. We're very lucky so far not to have caught it, but there, a lot of our staff have had it, and it's very big in this part of Queensland at the moment. But it's just part of life, you know, and you see very few people with masks, and you hear of very few people having it until later.
Yes.
You know, someone's got the sick, oh, I'm sick, oh, I've got the flu or whatever, and then 2 weeks later, oh, that was COVID.
Yes.
But they don't tell you till like much later. So it's still almost a little bit of a, not a shameful thing, but just not something people talk about. Yeah, last week I had a text message from a girlfriend who's in the States now, and she's American. She's repatriated, and but she and I lived together in Germany when COVID first came. You know how I loved to track it at that time.
You were.
Anyway,
that was
so
that was your superpower.
I was a tracker, and she said to me, "Listen, you know, you were the one who gave me the down low on water and toilet paper for COVID before I had to buy it." She said, "What do you think about this bird flu thing?"
And what were your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts were perhaps I said, look, I can't see in the current environment that America will shut down. So if you want to order something from overseas, go right ahead. I said, if you need your local supermarket to be open for water and toilet paper, I'm thinking that's going to be okay.
Okay, Nikki. So this is usually when we do our three favorite things. And I had to really think about this. This one because
it's
we haven't.
A long time.
It's been a long time, and I didn't want to miss something that I thought was really, really good. And I would that for me is Disclaimer, which was on Apple TV. I think it came out last October. I love Disclaimer. Do you think I can get my kids to watch it though? I don't know what it is with my, you know, suggestions or whatever, but. They haven't watched it, and I keep saying to them, you are missing one of the most brilliant pieces of television. So it's a 7-part series. It stars Kate Blanchett and Kevin Kline and what's his face? Sacha Baron Cohen. About to say the guy that's married to the Australian actress Isla Fisher. But they're not. They're not. Anyway, and it starts off where you see Blanchett's character is at an awards night. She's obviously like a foreign correspondent. She's highly revered. She's, I think she gets presented with her award by Christine, how do you say her surname?
Anna Amanpour.
Anna Amanpour, thank you. So you kind of get, you get the drift that they're very successful, sort of powerful characters. She gets home. There's a book that's been in the post that's sitting on the, you know, the post has been delivered. There's a book there, and the book is obviously very personal to her because she's really affected by it, and off we go. And I can't really give too much without really spoiling the movie, but I will say there is a young Kate Blanchett in the movie who is also an Australian actress, Leela George, and I discovered only, you know, later because I thought she was really, really good in her role as well, that she is Greta Saatchi's daughter.
Oh, yes. Okay, that makes sense.
So, yeah, I guess she'd get be called a Nepo.
Nepo.
Yes.
Nepo baby.
Yeah, but she is absolutely brilliant at what she does and, you know, deserves full credit for it. She was really, really good. Have you seen it, Nikki?
I have seen it, yes.
And what did you think?
I found it hard to watch.
Yeah.
Because I didn't like the direction that it was taking.
Yes.
And I can't say anything else.
Yeah. So... Yes. So I guess the background is you spend a lot of the time thinking, did she do this? Should she be cancelled? Is she a horrendous person? And there is a lot in there about grief and guilt And, you know, it's such a great story. And
yeah, it is. It's very messy. And yes. It feels more real life than it probably is. Like, it's just something that, you know, yeah, it's very messy but feels real in the mess almost because you –
yeah.
Yeah. And it takes you in one direction and then
– yes.
Whips you around into another.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No, I thought it was brilliant. So I would highly recommend Disclaimer on Apple TV. And it really – I would have said that that was the best thing that I watched last year. The second thing, Nikki, that I have read is The Season by Helen Garner. And it is a really cute read in that it's small, so you're going to get through it very quickly. And you're going to be really sad because you're going to be thinking, this is going way too quickly and this has just become such a nice little companion book for me. And the premise of the book is Helen Garner is obviously, you know, one of Australia's most brilliant authors, and she is now, I think she's close to 80 or she's 80. She's around that mark. And she follows her grandson's football team through their football season. And the idea is that she goes there with her notebook and her pencil and that she is to be sort of invisible. She gets everybody's permission that she's allowed to go and write a book about the season. And so you sort of get the background of what life is like because she lives right next door to her grandchildren. She lives next door to her daughter and son-in-law. And I've read Garner's personal work before about her choice to live next door to them and what a gift it was to her. She often says that she wasn't a great mother, but by living next door to her daughter, she then got to be a great grandmother. And she has been very involved in her grandchildren's lives. And so having that perspective, you really, you were in on the beauty of it. You know, I think from memory, she didn't say that in this book, but I think from memory of reading the last thing she wrote, that they do just sort of, they've got a special gate through the back fence and, you know, that it really is, you go from one house to the other and she is there for meal times and that she really is very much part of their lives. What I loved about the book too was she is a big Western Bulldogs fan, so she incorporates that into watching the Bulldogs. What I found frustrating about it is she really doesn't know a lot about football.
I have heard that about the book.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I found it very frustrating in that I was like, oh, mate, how have you been watching the Bulldogs for 20 years and not picked up on more of the rules or more of, you know, and so her bias towards them is fascinating. They have a star called Bailey Smith, who is a star in the AFL world itself. Like, he's not just a star of the Bulldogs. He is, let's just say that my kids would go to watch the Western Bulldogs, even though they don't barrack for them, to watch Bailey Smith. And he has huge, you know, contracts with brands, etc. Now, he left over the summer to go and play for Geelong. And I just wish that had been in the book. I'd like to see how she would have coped with that because she talks about him like he's this god. And I just thought, oh, this is going to be interesting. The book is a lovely, you know, those books that just feel like a nice, sort of like a hot water bottle that you just sit there and enjoy. They're really easy to read. You love how she talks about family, how she talks about mateship, how you see all these different people in the community that are all wanting the same thing. Yes. Have you read it?
I haven't read it, but I have read lots about it and I've listened to some podcasts on which it was discussed.
Right. So and what was the general feeling when it was discussed?
That she may not have known as much about Aussie rules as she could have. But also for someone that it makes it appeal to a very broad reader base because
yes,
people who don't know anything about it aren't getting into listing or reading anything that's too technical or too high level from that perspective. Yes. So, but also it was a lovely example of the relationship with her grandson and just the whole thing was quite interesting because the 16-year-old boys, right? That's the team, they're 16.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, 16, 17. And I think that's what I was going to say, Nikki. I think what I particularly liked was we don't hear a lot of positive stories of young boys.
Yes.
You know, we hear about toxic masculinity and we hear about this new move to the right with young boys, et cetera, et cetera. And this showed you just the true nature, I think, of young boys. But, you know, the thing is that's hard with when we start saying about boys and girls is I have two boys and they are vastly different. Mm. And I have one son that would like to wrestle and, you know, crash and do whatever. And I have another son that would probably prefer to do handstands and cartwheels. Do you know, so it's tough when you get into, but this is, I guess you're talking to the majority, aren't you, when you're doing that, of saying, well, this is what the majority. Okay, and my third one is apple cider vinegar, which I know everybody's already seen by now because I think it's number one on Netflix. But I wanted to talk to you, Nikki, about have you seen apple cider vinegar?
I have not.
Oh, wow.
I don't really want to.
That's interesting because
But I know I'm going to because it's part of the zeitgeist. It's current in Australia. Yes. You can't get away from it. But and Netflix itself, it's so big on Netflix. I know I'm going to see it, but it's not something I watch when it immediately dropped, which I do with a lot of new shows. But anyway.
Look, I think it raises the question of, and this is what I'm not sure about with apple cider vinegar, is when something is kind of true but not exactly true, and what happens when a production team makes these decisions, right? So they really push at the beginning of each show that it's based on a true story and that Bill Gibson hasn't been paid any money. And for those that are wondering what I'm talking about, if you haven't been blasted by apple cider vinegar, it's based on the story of Bill Gibson, who was a woman who became huge in Australia Online in the wellness sort of stratosphere, and she
really kicked off the whole thing, really, that like was a part of the initial
wellness. So 2010 I reckon she was really in our time on the internet, Nikki, when we were writing blogs and doing things like that. But she was very smart that she went that step further and she made an app. I think it was called The Whole Pantry or something, and she could see that the apps were the way to go. So while everybody else was writing their bits online and maybe selling a few products and doing whatever, she went straight for the jugular of the app, and her app became one of the most downloaded apps on Apple at the time. And so the story is about her because she talked about how she had recovered or kept her brain cancer in remission. But really, in the backstory was, did she really have brain cancer? And no, she eventually has sort of said, no, I didn't have brain cancer. She escalated the story to say that the cancer had moved to different parts of her body, blah, 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 and she was eventually found out and it all came tumbling down. But the thing is, to make it a great series, you then have to have all those other stories. And the stories that they used in Apple Cider Vinegar were that it was two guys from the Age newspaper who, you know, discovered that she was a scam, and they also created her a different person that sort of let it out. But the real story is it was a journalist from The Australian who really broke the story. And his wife had cancer. Now, in the Netflix one, a journalist from The Age's wife has cancer. So you can imagine the guy from The Australian has not only been assaulted with, hey, you've not told this story factually, but you've also used my wife's story. So it was all a bit yuck in that way. And they use a character called Mila, who is based on Jess Ainscough, and she's now passed away. So it's her partner is saying, I don't like the story. I don't like, you know, what you've said. So I just think it gets very blurry, doesn't it, when you kind of tell a partly true story, but not an entirely true story? And what are the rules?
Maybe Netflix got bitten when they did Baby Reindeer, or not got bitten. Yes. But
yes, they did.
They said, yeah, Baby Reindeer, this is a true story, is what they said.
Yes.
And
yes,
then Baby Reindeer became so enormous that they, you know, and people were like, well, how is it true? What's true about it? You know, like, and then it was, yes, a very difficult thing. So I think they've probably reassessed, yeah, their this is a true story situation and, yes, had the lawyers come through it with a fine-tooth comb and tried to work out whether they were going to be able, yeah, to get away with it or not. I don't know. But it sounds like they've done some things that are quite hurtful and distressing to real-life people. So that doesn't feel good.
It doesn't. It doesn't, does it? So, Nikki, tell me your three things. What are your three favourite things?
Okay, so my three favourite things. So I watched this week as soon as it dropped, so not on Netflix, something called Zero Day. And this is your youngest, Henry, and I. We would love to watch this together. He's probably watched it. You know, he and I have the same taste in TV. And it's the first TV show Robert De Niro has ever done. You have never seen Robert De Niro in a TV show before. This is it. And apparently he said it was like doing, someone asked him, would he do a TV show again? He said, no, it's too hard. It was like doing three movies back to back to back, because it's obviously because a TV show, because I think it's 6 or 8 parts, so it's 8 hours.
Right.
Whereas a movie is only shot to be like 2 hours long, so you have to shoot so much more stuff. But it's got Robert De Niro, it's got Connie Britton, Angela Bassett, Matthew Modine, who, ooh, I remember Matthew Modine as being, you know, someone you always saw in a movie who wasn't so old. Now he's like an old man. Yeah. And it's like, jeez, like that's where we are. Matthew Modine's old. Like Robert De Niro to me never gets old. Like he's just, yeah, he was always old.
Yeah.
Whereas Matthew Modine now looks so old. And I'm like, we're really aging ourselves here. And like the young people are Jesse Plemons and Lizzie Kaplan. And it is what you would say, a conspiracy theory event. So it's about something that happens in America, obviously, because that's where everything happens. That's where the world ends and gets saved, and that's where in the movies that's where those things happen.
Yes.
So there's a zero day event where somebody hijacks all the electrical equipment in the world and for 60 seconds turns it all off, only in America, obviously.
Yeah.
And they don't appear to have any, there's, and they said this, you know, this is just the beginning. So Robert De Niro plays the role of an ex-president who is called back in to head a commission called the Zero Day Commission. And he sort of gets all sorts of powers and he can, you know, stop at nothing to find the truth. But there is something also going on with him that you're not really sure what's going on with him. And he has a bit of a tragic past and there are reasons for that. His daughter is a congresswoman. His wife wants to go on the Supreme Court. And so it is very complex and you would think absolutely outlandish and unattainable, but I'm sorry, I don't think anything's too outlandish anymore. This could really happen. Yeah. So, of course, the thing is, did Russia do it? Russia did it. No, Russia didn't do it. Did they really? And so it's just about it. So by the time you get to the end of the series, you find out who did it, why they did it, etc. And then you find out what's really going on with Robert De Niro as well. So, but it is, he's such a good actor. Like it just, it was, I had to read that it was his first TV show because he just, you just see so many things on TV now, you know, on Netflix or Hulu or HBO or whatever, that you, yeah, just think all the big movie actors have already done TV shows.
Yeah.
But he has not. But I just love the role he plays in this. You know, it's just this very sort of rational but very flawed person with a very, you know, with a troubled past. And I just really enjoyed it. I watched it pretty much all the time. Like I just, when I was washing, when I was cleaning, when I was doing things, I just sort of had it on. It's not something you have to sit and watch, although I did have to rewatch a couple of bits to work out what was meant to be happening. But it was just one of those things that really pulled me in, and I watched it till very late at night till I could finish and find the last episode. So,
oh, brilliant.
I did enjoy that. So that was fun. Paradise is another thing I watched, and I sent you a message. I was like, you have to watch this new show on Disney Plus called Paradise.
Yes.
Now,
but I need to be in Australia to watch it, I think. I don't think I get Disney Plus.
Right.
Yet. Yeah.
Okay. But the thing is, I didn't read anything about it before I watched it. I just saw, oh, this is a new show. And so I just pressed play on the first episode. If you know the premise, it doesn't. Because I watched it and the whole through the show, it's like, there's something going on here. And the last minute of the first episode just blew my mind. Like I knew what was happening, but I didn't know. And then It sort of was revealed. And I haven't enjoyed the other episodes as much, but now, I mean, I have to. Yeah. But the first episode, because I watched it because I had no – I didn't understand what the premise was. And today I went online to have a look and it says, oh, set it. I'm like, oh, no, that gives it all away. Like, you know, why would you give it away before you watch it? Because if you don't know what it's about, watching the first episode is – brilliant, in my opinion.
Right.
I think it's fantastic.
Well, I will do that. I will watch the first episode and I'm not going to read anything about it.
Yeah, so that's what I – and Sterling K. Brown is the main role. He's from This Is Us. He's one of the brothers on This Is Us.
Yeah.
That's where you've seen him from before. So it's a great thing. It's another show with a lot of evil tech billionaires and politicians in bed together. Previously seemed a little bit outlandish, but now seems just everyday stuff. Okay, and the third one, I had a bit of a toss-up because it's been so long since we've done this, but Black Doves is my third one. And it was a Keira Knightley show. It was on Netflix.
Oh, yes, yes, that was brilliant. I loved it.
Yes, yeah. With Keira Knightley and Ben Whishaw.
Yeah.
And who have a really unusual relationship.
Yes.
In the show. And Keira Knightley plays a spy or a kind of black mm-hmm. dove who don't have any allegiance to a country. They sort of have an allegiance to money, sort of whoever is the biggest, who pays the biggest mm-hmm. amount. So they're sort of run by this shadow group. And she is a spy and she ends up marrying her target, and that's all in the first 5 minutes, so I'm not giving anything away there. But she's been having an affair with someone and they are killed as well in the first 5 minutes. And it's about how all that unfolds. And it really, like, it's truly, it's very, very gruesome. There is a lot of death and killing in it, but it is also just a great story, just a real old-fashioned spy story rollicking along, just really, really enjoyable. And the acting is fantastic.
Yeah, she's very good. She's very good.
She's very good.
They all are. The cast is brilliant. Yeah, I really enjoyed it too. That was just before Christmas, I reckon, because it was based around Christmas, wasn't it? Like the actual show, it was Christmas.
Yes, correct.
But yeah, very clever. Yeah. I really, really enjoyed that. I'm with you. That's a great one. Black Doves. I've completely forgotten about it, but that was excellent.
So if you missed it over Christmas because, like, you were doing something fun or you were traveling and you haven't got back to, you know, you're just settling back, or you're looking for something if you're in the middle of winter and you're looking for something to just to have a splurge on, it's worth it. Just cuddling up under a rug and watching, rolling through a few episodes.
Yes. And Disclaimer. Please watch Disclaimer. I feel like not enough people have watched Disclaimer.
So you can discuss it with Kirsty.
Yes.
She'll take comments on Expat in a Hatch.
Yes, and then tell my children to watch it, please.
Okay, well, Kirsty, this has been a lovely, lovely catch-up. I really enjoyed talking to you, and we must do it again sooner
later. We must do it sooner. Yes, absolutely.
We want to hear all about your how to tell a joke tonight. We want to hear the follow-up on that and how that went, and we want to see the next Expat in a Hatch.
Yes, okay. All right. Thank you, Nikki. It's lovely to see you. And we will do this again soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.